The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Actually, when he talks about the kindness and love of God, he's talking about one thing, or as we explained yesterday, one person. And so, who is the kindness of God? Come on, who is the kindness of God? Who is the love of God? Put up like amplified of this. Amplified made it very clear. We saw that yesterday. He said, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, to man as man. And so, when we talk about the kindness of God, we're not talking about a thing or a feeling. We are talking about a person. The person of Jesus. Are you still here this morning? So Jesus is God's kindness, God's love on two legs. So what happened in the coming of Christ was that God's very kindness appeared on two legs, on two feet. And they didn't know him. And so in Jesus, we'll see the revelation of God's kindness. Now, it's a word we saw is, they go back to King James. He says, after that, the kindness and love of God toward man appeared. What is that word appeared again? What's the Greek word? You're checking your notes. Eh? Come on. Come on. Epiphaino. You checked your notes. I saw you. Epiphaino. It means for something to be made visible. And I'm going to start with that this morning. And so, the kindness and love of God was made visible. Now, when you see appeared or made visible or brought to light, what he did not say is that the kindness and love of God was formed or was created. He said it was made visible. What that means should be that it has always been in existence. I didn't get the point. What that verse does not say is that one day God created the kindness of God. He said that kindness was made visible. So whatever this kindness will be, bring down this keyboard a little. Whatever this kindness will be, which obviously is Jesus himself. The Bible said it was made visible. So it was not today that God started being kind. It wasn't the day it was revealed that God started being good. It wasn't the day it was revealed that God started being love. The day it was revealed was just the day it was made visible. So prior to what has happened in this verse, God has always been like that. The coming of Christ only revealed what God has always been. Did you get that? And so, unlike what a lot of people think, that in the Old Testament, God was being. But in the New Testament, God is love. That's a terrible thing to say. It's a terrible thing to say. It's a terrible way to think. And if you're still thinking like that, if you still believe that, you better start changing your perception. And if you still think that is correct, maybe my book will help you. Amen? And that book will be available tomorrow. Amen? By tomorrow, it will be here. But then, you begin to see that God did not change. The Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. And so the kindness of God has always been in existence. But then one day it appeared. And so it was revealed. It was revealed. So the challenge is, it has always been there, but people did not know it. That's why you never, you know, when there was a song we were singing yesterday, when I was on stage, Ibuchukwu Onyedima, you know that song? And when then I said, Idiomimi, I said, no, don't do that. Idiomimi in Igbo means you are mysterious. God is not mysterious. You get the point? What happened is he has, you see, the kindness and the love of God has appeared. But even before it was made known, God has never been mysterious. To be mysterious means he was unknown. No, God has ever, he was unknowable. Get this right. To the Old Testament sense, God was a mystery to them. But he was never mysterious in himself. Did you get this difference? He was a mystery to them, which means they didn't know him. Are you following me at all? Look at John 1 verse 18. John 1 verse 18. John chapter 1 and verse 18. Look at that. He said, no man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, which is the brother of the Father, he had declared him. So it was what Jesus did when he came was to what? To declare God. So Jesus did not change God. He only declared what he has always been. Are you following me at all? So the challenge with the Old Testament was that people did not really know who God really was. So it wasn't that Jesus came and began to show that God is soft, God is kind, God is merciful. No, he came to show what God has always been. Jesus did not come and say, well, God, you've been mean. Now I've come. Let me change you. Let me change your life. Jesus did not change God. God is not Jesus' convert. Are you following me? Jesus did not get God born again. God has always been kind. Jesus came to declare what he has always been. So the kindness and love of God was revealed. It appeared. And so what that tells you is that even in the Old Testament, that kindness of God has always been in existence. If I still hear, say amen. If you read the Old Testament and all you see is God being mean, being tough, you see, you've not studied well. Was God tough to the Old Testament guys? Never. Did they say God was tough to them? Yes. Are you following me? Was God tough? No. Was God mean? No. Was God hard? No. Did they say God was all this? Yes. That is why you will see Jesus. This is not part of my message. I'm just doing this because I noticed there's a mixed crowd there. That's why you will see Jesus come in the New Testament, or in the four Gospels. And he will be correcting what Moses said. He said, you have heard that it was said, but I saw unto you. Did you get the point? You've heard that it was said, they asked him, can we put away our wife? You see these guys, they wanted to divorce. Now, Moses allowed them to divorce. How many of you know that? Moses said once there's a case of infidelity, you can give your wife a certificate of divorcement, you can divorce her. Jesus said, no. When he met them too, he said from the beginning it was not so. So God never planned divorce. So why did Moses say that? Jesus told them. Moses gave you that instruction because of the hardness of your heart. So Moses will look at these guys, they will ask somehow, you say, facts, because of this thing, see what I'm saying now. So everything said in the Old Testament were man's perception of God. Now, so are you saying we should not read the Old Testament again? No, far from me, far from that. We can never say that. But there is a way to study the Old Testament. It is the epistles that will shed light on the Old Testament. I follow you at all. It's the epistles that will shed light. It is Jesus that explains the Old Testament. Does not explain Jesus. Jesus explained the Old Testament. Are you following me at all? And so what happened in Titus 3 verse 4 was that he was revealed. The kindness of God was not created in the New Testament. The kindness of God was revealed in the New Testament. So God has always been kind. Are you following me at all? As a matter of fact, some men found his kindness even in the Old Testament. Some men found his favor. An example is the man Noah. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, we see a strong word used there, the word chen in the Greek, C-H-E-N. Genesis 6 verse 8, he said, but Noah found grace, that's chen. He found grace. That word chen in the Hebrew, it means favor. Noah found God's favor. You know what was happening here? The whole world was corrupt. The whole world was about to be consumed. Noah found favor. So we see a man in the Old Testament enjoy the favor of God, such that when the whole world was wiped out, he was saved. Now, that again tells you that the favor of God was present then. So why were those guys consumed? Well, was it because God said, Noah is just my special child, I'm going to give him this favor? No. The Bible tells us that the kindness of love of God appeared towards how many men? All men. So there was something Noah did. That thing he did was just that he accepted that kindness. Are you following me? So when the Bible said he found grace, what the Bible would mean is that he accepted the grace of God that was available in those days. The guys there rejected the grace of God that was available. So even in the days of Noah, God's grace and favor and mercy was available. Are you following me at all? So he didn't just say, well, no, I'm going to single you out and show you. And then others, I'm going to pepper them. They think I came here to play. No. It has always been available. Noah accepted it. The rest rejected it. So he found grace. So in the days of Noah, the grace of God, the favor of God, the kindness of God was still available. It was still available. It was still available. Are you following me at all? In Exodus 33 verse 12, we see the case of Moses. Moses. Look at that. Moses said to the Lord, see, can you see the screen from there? Can you? Let's read together. It's okay. If you don't want to read, don't read. If you want to read, let's read again now. Very well. See, thou sayest unto me, bring up those people, and thou hast not known whom thou wilt send me with. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found. So God told Moses, you have found grace in my sight. Is it clear? Now, continue. Next verse. Okay. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is that people. So you're saying, Lord, I want to see your grace. He said, I found grace. Show me yourself. Show me your grace. I want to see it. I want to see you. How many of us are still praying this prayer? How many of us have ever prayed that, God, I want to see you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to see Jesus. You cannot see him and remain the same. And what people are asking for is an encounter. Right? Such that he will come into my room and I will feel him. Let me tell you. Better take it easy. And I've warned you in church, stop seeking encounters. Take it home from this meeting. Stop it. If that's what you came here to seek, cancel it. You see, you will have visions in this life. This Christian journey, you will have visions. You get the point? You will have revelations. You will have encounters, but don't seek them. If you continue seeking them, you get yourself in trouble. You open up yourself to demons. It's not a figure of speech. It's real. Demons. Because, you know, it was Brother Hagin that said, sometimes we are seeking for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. And somebody say, well, I know God is good, but if I can have a vision, an encounter. You know the problem with an encounter? An encounter is if the reason you believe anything or you believe anything is because of an encounter, that thing can still be changed because you can also have a counter encounter. Did you get what I said? What if you see a dream tonight where God appeared to you and said, my son, I'm taking you to heaven. I love you. Just wake up and say, oh God, God loves me. I'm going to heaven. How do you know? He told me in a dream. Let's assume you sleep tomorrow. And you now see another vision. Where Satan is saying, you are mine. Just imagine that. Praise God. And they are trying to run and you see about 7 girls dancing. Ah, fancy. In your dream. I say, you are mine. And then I give you blood and you drink. Now that's an encounter. If you find out that encounter has invalidated the other one you had, you now start looking for a deliverance center. No. Are you following me this morning? We don't need an encounter to change anything. People want to see. So David, Moses was saying, I want to see you. If you have found this, show me. Show me. Let's see. Continue. Verse 14. We're going to see what God showed Moses. And he said, my presence will go with thee. So God was telling him, and I will give you rest. Okay? Verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it nothing that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee. So God said to Moses, I will do it. I will do it. Okay, let's see. Let's see what. So what did he say he will do? He will show him his way, right? Are you see here? So he was ready to give Moses the encounter. Now, is it not amazing that Moses was asking to know God, to see God, and to see his way after he has seen the burning bush? Are you going to talk about? He was done with the burning bush. He had stayed on Mount Sinai for 40 days and brought down the Ten Commandments. After all of that, he said, Father, show me your way. He knew that wasn't God's way. I follow him at all. He has stayed on the mountain 40 days. He has seen the burning bush. Pull off your shoes, for you are in the presence of the Lord. And after all of that, he still said, Father, show me. I want to see your way. Now, after all of that, look at verse 18. And he said, I beseech you. He now prayed the prayer for he said, show me thy glory. Who is asking for God's glory? The man that saw Okureraiya Mayereyoku. I mean, the man that saw the burning bush. The man that stayed on Mount Sinai and saw, in quotes, the glory of God. You see, what Moses saw on Mount Sinai was not God's glory. He knew. He came down, his face was shining. He came and said, Father, show me your glory. I follow him at all. Now, Jesus, God answered the prayer. Verse 19. And he said, look at the answer God gave. I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So God said, how I'm going to show you myself is that I will make my goodness pass before you. So even in the Old Testament, God's way, his glory has always been his goodness. Because you would have thought that when Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, Lord was going to just tell him, okay, just lie down. And suddenly Moses saw heaven open and saw 10 ladders. Angel Michael on this ladder, Angel Gabriel on this. You know, we want this stuff. Interesting, powerful, gang. Say, God is here. And I see fire coming, water coming. The fire and the water mixed up. The water was still cold. The fire was still hot. Just came. And I said, man, God just visited. I felt it. See, let me tell you. Stop. You're not a feeler. You're a human being. You're not a human feeling. I follow him. He said, I will make all my goodness and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious to. So I will show you what I will make pass before you. If you read the next chapter, I found out that when Moses was there, God said, I'm going to cover you. See my back. When he passed, he proclaimed his name. He said, the Lord, gracious in mercy. Lord, that is good. So he pronounced God's goodness before him. That was how Moses saw the glory of God. And so, the goodness of God isn't an invention of Jesus. It's not an invention of the Old Testament. It's always been who God has been all the while. Did you observe? God said, I will not show you my face. He said, if you see my face, you are going to die. So he hid Moses and showed him his back. And what did he show Moses? Goodness, mercy. We have seen his face. So a glimpse of that thing that Moses saw, we are standing before God's full kindness. So God's kindness, God's Christotis, God's mercy has always been there in the Old Testament. Some found it, some didn't find it. David found it too. In Psalm 103 verse 8, David found it. I love David. Do you love David? I love David. You know, sometimes when you're reading the book of Psalms, you almost feel like you're reading the epistles. Almost. The guy saw God's mercy. He saw God's kindness. He saw God's forgiveness. Look at this. He says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. This was an Old Testament guy talking. Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Hallelujah. Okay, they continue. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy, his love, his kindness, his goodness toward them that fear him. So in the Old Testament, God knew that David knew that God had plenty of mercy to give. That as this, you know. As the sky, as the heaven is far from the earth. That's how big. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Moses saw the kindness of God. He knew it. He knew it. In Psalm 106 verse 1, he talks about the fact that God is good, God is kind. So 106 and verse 1, he said, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is, his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 107 verse 1, he will give the same testimony of God. Psalm 107 verse 1, very quickly, just the next chapter. He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is, for his mercy endureth forever. I can go on and on. In Micah 7 verse 18, Micah, that's part of the Bible you've not read for the past 2 years. Micah 7 and verse 18. Do you still remember where it is? Remove it from the screen. Open it to your Bible. Open your hard copy Bible. Don't punch your phone. Have you seen it? After what book? Before Nahum. How many of you still remember that Nahum is in the Bible? Have you forgotten? Okay, go back to the screen. Micah 7 verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? Actually, this word, this sentence is the word Micah. It means, Micah means who is like unto you. That's the same thing with Michael. That's the same thing with Onyedikachi. It's the same thing. What was that for? Now, look at what he said that there's no... Look at what he meant that there's nobody like God. What is this about God? Eh? Who pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. This is what Micah said concerning God. What am I saying? The goodness of God, the kindness of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the Christotis of God, the benevolence of God is not an invention of the New Testament. It's always been God. God did not change in the New Testament. God did not get kinder and more lovely. God did not calm down. Are you getting the point? God has always been what he has always been. That's why you need to get the book, The God You Never Knew, because I explained some of these things and I've taught them in some of our teachings too. Like during LMP, I talked about Noah's flood, okay? I explained it in that book too. You find out that the flood of Noah was not an act of God. It wasn't God that drowned the whole world. No. I follow him at all. It wasn't God that drowned everybody. You see, sir, so are you not trying to say that? I'm trying to say that God is that good. God is that merciful. Even the Old Testament guys, some of them knew it. Some did not, some knew. Some of them knew it in part. Some of them knew it fully. Well, nobody knew it fully, I know. But they knew it in part. So you see some parts of their writing, they will talk somehow. Some other parts of their writing, they will talk like they know it. Are you following me? Jesus now came and cleared everything. So Jesus is the explanation to the inconsistencies we find in the Old Testament. Let me say it again. Jesus is the explanation to the inconsistencies we find. So God has always been good. His goodness has always been available. He didn't start being good today. He didn't start being good today. He has always been merciful. And so what am I saying? That the love of God, which is what I'm talking about this morning, is not a reaction. It is his nature. You didn't hear that. God's love isn't a reaction. It's not something he did because somebody did something. God's love is who God naturally is. So let me say, God is good. God is love. Again, say, God is good. God is love. So God's love is God's nature. 1 John 4 verse 16. Look at that. God's love is not a reaction. If as a matter of fact, let me say this. How many of you know God does not react? Now, I've said this a couple of times and this should enter your head. God does not react. If God reacts, it's not God. You get the point? Some of you think you can make God react. You can just make God do something. I'm still coming to that shortly. If you are confused about that, hold on. He said, and we have known and believed that God, or the love that had God to us, the love that God had to us, yes? God is what? Love. He that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God. So God's definition is love. His love is not a reaction. If I let me say this. The love of God, or what Jesus did on the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus, it's more than a payment for the sin of Adam. It's who God is. It's God's plan. It's who God is. God has always been love. He said, God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, just look at verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. Verse 16 says, because love, verse 10 said, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. So he loved us and sent his son. So his love isn't a reaction. What this means is that your actions cannot change God's love. Because it was not your actions that made him love in the first place. I follow him at all. Your action cannot change God's kindness. God is kind. God is merciful. God is good. God is love towards you. Whatever you do cannot reduce who God is. Whatever you do cannot reduce who God is. The actions you take in the flesh will affect you. It doesn't affect God. It doesn't change God. God is not going to stop being good because you misbehaved. You know, I've kept saying this in church. God will not say, because you sinned, you know, look at Matthew chapter 6 verse 13. You know that place that says, forgive us our sins, even as we forgive those. Now, many of us think that what that verse means is that if you do not forgive, God himself will not forgive you. Have you ever believed that? That if you don't forgive, you know, if that is true, it means, I said it in church, joking, I've said it a couple of times. It means we can turn God into anything we want him to be. We can make him bitter. You know how? Let all of us just team up and refuse to forgive. Since he said if we don't forgive, he will not forgive. So, I refuse to forgive, you refuse to forgive, so God will be dying with bitterness. I'll be looking at you. You don't want to forgive. You want me to forgive you. You take him like that. You see, when people talk, you see, something you have to notice about this verse. Let me explain this to Matthew 6 for you. People say, sir, you can't fight this one. This one is in the New Testament. But that's a lie. This is not in the New Testament. This is in the Old Testament. How many of you know that? How many of you know? You don't? If you don't, let me see your hand. Now, Matthew is the Old Testament. Let me explain that to you. The New Testament is not the demarcation. It's not demarcation of the Bible. It's not the way you get the point. The New Testament is not the way we demarcated the Bible. The New Testament began, listen carefully, with the death of Jesus. So even though we call this part of the Bible the New Testament writings of the Bible, the Testament itself. So you find out that Jesus himself operated under the Old Testament while he was on earth. Is that confusing? Galatians 4 verse 4. Galatians 4 verse 4. Jesus himself, while on earth, he operated under the Old Testament. He says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So Jesus was made under the law. I follow him at all. But so he was writing to those guys. He was talking to those guys as one under the law. But then secondly, go back to Matthew 6 verse 12. Or from verse 10 now. You find out that prayer you call the Lord's Prayer. Now, something you always miss in that prayer. Everything Jesus told them to go back to verse 9. I started from verse 9 or verse 9. Yes. Everything Jesus told them to ask for in that prayer are our present day realities. Look at this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, verse 10. Thy what? Come on, talk past me. Thy what? So has God's kingdom come? Huh? The kingdom of God has come. Jesus told them, you know, we are in the kingdom of God, right? When he was on earth, he was telling them, the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what that meant? The kingdom of God was not, I've explained this before, right? It was not something that was birthed or that will come. It was birthed when Jesus died and rose again. The resurrection of Jesus was the establishment of the kingdom of God. I follow him at all. Jesus told them, he said, if I cast out devils by the power of God, then the kingdom of God is come. So the power of God, the kingdom of God is the influence of the Spirit on earth. So it came into being when Jesus died and rose again. Paul spoke about it. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is what? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. So when we receive righteousness, receive the peace of God, receive joy in the Holy Ghost, we receive the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus will say the kingdom of God is within you, is in people. Are you following me at all this morning? And so when Jesus was saying, pray that thy kingdom come. Should we pray thy kingdom come? Huh? The kingdom of God has come. It has come. Now, again, he said, thy will be done. Do you know what the will of God is? John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth in him should have eternal life. So the will of God is salvation. It's eternal life. Look at it. This is the Father's will which has sent me, and of all which has seen me. So when Jesus was saying, thy will be done, the will of God, okay, is the salvation of men. It's first of all the death of Jesus. Remember before he died, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but. So what was God's will in that situation? That Jesus would die and rose and rise again. So in Matthew 6, he told them, pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done. But those two things are the same thing. The kingdom of God is the will of God. Amen? The kingdom of God is the will of God. The will of God will birth the kingdom of God. And so, by that, we see clearly that, go back to Matthew 6, we see clearly that that has been answered already. I'm going to show you something that will bless you. That has been answered. Matthew 6, verse 12. Come on. Matthew 6, verse 12. Go back to verse 11. Or verse 10 rather. So he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is. Now look at the next verse, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. Hallelujah. Daily bread. The bread of life. Amen. Jesus will explain this later in John and said, I am the bread of life. So this prayer has been answered. God has given us that bread. Amen. Are you following me at all? I'm trying to show you that everything stated here is actually what has happened. Now the next verse will now say, verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we. Now, we already saw in the scripture that God is a forgiving Father, right? In fact, Ephesians 4:32 will tell us to forgive others as God has forgiven us. And so, look at that. Be ye kind one another, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So have we been forgiven? So when the Bible said forgive our debts, is that a prayer point? Let's continue. Go back to Matthew 6 verse 12. Look at verse 13. It said, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. What's the next thing? And come on, read with me. And can God lead us into temptation? Are you sure? Can God lead you to temptation? Say your mind. Say your mind. Forget that I'm shouting. Say your mind. You are so sure. Why are you sure? Huh? James 1 verse 13. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot tempt any human being. And so, it means that Jesus, whatever thing he was saying there, well, I'm coming. Let me not run over myself. And so, God can lead anybody in temptation. So, lead us in temptation, but deliver us from, of course, not deliver us from evil. Now, do you see what I'm trying to show you? That Matthew 6, in the Greek, is not rendered as a prayer, the way you pray it. It declares the character of God. You forgive us our sins. We forgive our debtors. You lead us not into temptation. You deliver us from all. I get the point. The way that person degrees is declaring what God does. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom has come. Your will is done on earth. Are you following me at all? And so it's declaring the character and the nature of God. He said, you lead us not. Jesus cannot be telling them to pray that God will not lead them into temptation, whereas he knows that God does not lead them into temptation. So why did they render it like this? I tell you simply, this prayer was prayed by men who did not understand God. You say, but sir, what are you saying? What I'm saying is this. When God says, I do not lead anybody into temptation, and that same God tells you to pray that he will not lead you to temptation, that's a contradiction, right? So the right thing is, you forgive us our sins, we forgive our debtors. That's why Paul will put it right in Ephesians 4:32. He said, forgive us, not so that, you see, forgive one another, even as God has forgiven you. It's not forgive so that God will forgive you. All I'm trying to show you is that God's love and kindness is not a reaction. Amen? It's not something that God does because we did anything. His love is constant. Okay? It's not a reaction. Look at that 1 John 4 verse 10. He said, hearing is love. 1 John 4 verse 10. So God's love isn't a reaction. It's not. Hearing is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So God did not love us because we loved him. We actually love him because he loved us. I follow him at all. So God's Christotis, his kindness, his mercy, is his nature. It doesn't react to anything. It doesn't respond to anything. It's not going to change because you misbehaved. I follow him at all. God is love. You cannot change God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. Neighbor. Touch the person, say, neighbor. You can't change God. You can't change God. He didn't get that. Look at another person and say, neighbor, I'm talking to you. You cannot change God. Your foolishness will not make God foolish. Your unforgiveness will not make God unforgiveness. Will not make God to be unforgiving. Amen. Praise God. Your bitterness against your neighbor will not make God bitter. God is love. Period. You get the point? 1 John 1 verse 5 said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Albert, don't forget that at all. See, we have heard the message. God is light. So in God, you will never find any evil. So he did not start being kind because he just said, man, the days of Sodom, those people sinned. So because they sinned then, let me tell you something. The kind of sin we are committing in our generation today. Sodom, eh? If it was God, listen. If it was God that destroyed Sodom, and he's sparing us today, he needs to apologize to Sodom. But they didn't do anything. What did they do now? They were committing homosexuality. That's homosexual whatever. It's what some nations of the world have legalized. You get the point? You know, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that do you know who Onan is in the Bible? Onan was someone that the Bible tells us that God killed. Do you know why? Because he slept with someone, and instead of releasing whatever into the person, he spilled it on the floor. And God killed him and said, I'll kill you. See, that's God. God killed him. In our own days. Imagine that's how God is. Are you following me at all? You've not seen this in the Bible? On the floor, God killed him. In our own days, the baby we even form, somebody will put scissors and cut the baby out. Terminate the baby. I'm trying to show you that if that is who God is, you will not survive. You. You know, I know you. You don't know we know you. We know you know the kind of things you used to do. We are just pretending. God has always been good. So if you want explanations to what happened in the Old Testament, why this, you might not have all the answers, but as you study, it will open up. But just know that those things are not acts of God. They are not. They are misrepresentations of the character of God by men who didn't know him. He says, so is the Bible wrong? The Bible is not wrong. The Bible is simply a book that explains itself. You get the point? The New Testament will explain to you why it happened like that in the Old Testament. Simple. That's why I said one day, the Bible is a book you will not understand until you read all of it. You get the point? The New Testament will explain. It's a complete book. If there are confusions here, go to the other part. You find the answers to what happened in the other part. You get the point? So in the Old Testament, you find people saying a lot of things they thought God will do. Imagine God wants to waste us. He was going to send the flood to clear the days of Noah. You will not be alive today. What did they do in the days of Noah? They were drinking and partying. Imagine, they were just living like, my God. If you know the sins you used to commit, I don't want to talk about you. Let me pretend like I don't know. And some nations have legalized these things. Homosexuality, and as bad as it is, and I frown against it tomorrow. That even in church, they now wed man and man. Two men. See, let me tell you. God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. You understand the point? What is wrong with you? And people explain it away by saying, well, I don't have any attraction towards a girl or towards a guy. I only have towards my fellow guests. See, let me tell you. I know what's happening to you. You've been exposed to a lot of crazy stuff. You see, there is the kind of things that God created in a woman's body. There is no way man will not be attracted. No way. No, you don't understand. See, guys understand. How can you not be attracted? And I say, no, I'm not attracted. How are you not attracted? What's wrong with you? You are attracted. Be attracted. What's wrong with you? I'm not attracted. I just see the guy and it's only guys that appeal to me. What will appeal to me? If you're a guy, look at the guy beside you. Check what can appeal to you in that guy. But the society, where, do you know why it happens for people? I'm not blaming people that have that feeling. It's some people, sincerely. But the reason is because that's not how God made them. It is what they've been exposed to. You get the point? And they began to grow like that and they began to feel, okay, this is it. If you're feeling that way, begin to unfeel. No, first of all, agree with what God said. No two men got married in the Bible. What is wrong with two people, Jeff? What two men and two ladies? And the man own is paining me. You know why he's paining me? Because ladies are much, guys are few. And both of you are going to marry yourself. You should be arrested. But you are trying to help things. The way things are going in this generation, you are making things bad. Just like this, look around now. There are more ladies here. We are trying to march, and now two guys will now shorten the rush on that. Can you imagine this, children? Praise God. My point is, what led me to that? That the world is getting more corrupt than it was those days. Yet God has not cleared the world. The reason is because he has never been the person doing those things those days. You want to know the reason why those things happen? Get my book, amen? Because I'll show you like a few reasons why. Let me just mention them. One of them was, for instance, there was the law. The Bible tells us that it was the law that brought wrath. You get the point? There was the law. I explained that in the book. Another reason, for instance, could be acts of men. Elijah called down fire from heaven. James and John wanted to do the same thing. God rebuked them. Jesus said, you do not know the manner of spirit. You know, I was studying it this morning again. that verse, that chapter. You don't know, and it dawned on me that this James and John, we are even in the Old Testament. I hope you know. So it's not like the Spirit was not living inside of him. God now said, you don't know. It was the same. Whatever that they had was what Elijah had. Let me get a point. But God still said, Jesus said, you don't know. So Elijah did not know the manner of spirit. So who called down fire from heaven? Elijah. You say, but it's not the power of God they used. It is the power of God. Get my book again. Because if you read the book, you find out that a man of God can use God's power independent of God's approval. You get the point? A man of God can. Elijah did. Do you realize that when Jesus told them, when they asked Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven? Jesus did not tell them, you can't do it. He stopped them. Because if he left them, they would do it and it will happen. Are you following me at all? And it wouldn't be God that approved it. So some of the things you find in the Testament, some of them is because of the law, some of them it is Satan bringing. For instance, Satan will plan to bring destruction on the earth. God will step in to save the day. Some men will reject God's salvation and walk into the sun and bring it away. For instance, in divine leading. Amen. Divine leading now. Have you ever wanted to go out and God said, don't pass through that road? And you disobeyed and you passed through that road. And something bad happened to you. Has it happened to you before? Good. It wasn't God that brought that in. You know, right? What happened? There was danger coming. What brought the danger? A lot of things can. This is man's earth. You get the point? Satan is still running parole here. So, God would say, stay away from there. And you disobey and go there, you get harmed. So, it's not God bringing stuffs upon people and destroying them. Even in the Testament, it's never been him. So, God has always been good. Amen? His love, his kindness, his forgiveness, his goodness has always been there. Say, God is good. God is good. Say, God has always been good. He will always be good. He has never been harsh. Never been hard. Never been wicked. He has never had wrath. Praise God. God does not have wrath. You know, that's why I normally tell you guys, hey, Abalekosh, that the death of Jesus was not a sacrifice to appease God. You get the point? It's not a sacrifice to appease God. You know, some people make it like look like God is one angry Amadioha sitting somewhere and just looking. And Jesus now dies. Say, he said, I need blood. I need blood. And then I said, what blood do you need? They bring animal sacrifice. Say, I don't want animal sacrifice. I want a human being. And then I bring human being. Say, no, I want a sinless human being. Then I bring, he said, no, I need a human being that was God and became man. That's what I want. You know, no, that's not God. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus was not to appease God. It wasn't Jesus that the blood of Jesus appeased. It wasn't God. The sacrifice of Jesus simply paid for sin, period. It wasn't God that was angry. What was coming on man was the consequence of sin. The wages of sin is death, period. Are you getting the point? The sacrifice of Jesus came to pay the wages for sin. Is it hard to understand? You know, that begins to, you're now quiet. Because we've always thought that the sacrifice of Jesus was towards God. It wasn't towards God. The wages of sin is death. Amen? Okay, let me use the law court as I always do. If a judge is sitting down here and then pronounces that you are sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. Amen? Amen. No. It's not you like, amen to what I was, not this one. You're not going anywhere. Now, when someone steps in and says, okay, I'm going to take the punishment for him. If he takes that punishment, is he taking it to appease the judge? He's just paying. Okay, was it the judge that condemned you? Well, technically, no. It was the law. You get the point? The judge just passed the judgment. Are you getting the point? So, in our own case, God is a just God. He's a God of justice. So you deserve to die. Jesus stepped in, took the punishment. It wasn't God who he was appeasing. He was paying for your sin to bring you into oneness with God. Amen. And so God has never been angry. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. We don't serve an angry God. I'm saying this and emphasizing it because there are about 5 persons here who feel that God is angry with them. You can feel it. You almost know that God is angry with you. That's a lie. God has never been angry. Is that to understand? Never. He has never been angry with anybody. He is love. And he cannot change. Do you imagine if God used to get angry? See, he kind of seen an amen or wa kareka. God will live all his life being bitter. As you are preaching now, somebody is somewhere committing abortion. Now. As we are preaching now, somebody is somewhere killing somebody. Somebody is plotting how he's going to take somebody's life. I get the point. Go to the village, see the crime that people commit with witchcraft. Somebody stands up, wipes an entire family. This is happening. It's not Nollywood, it's real. I'm telling you. Back to... Can you imagine? Yeah, like that. Somebody wipes an entire family. Imagine God used to pick offense. You know something I was thinking? In fact, the psalmist said, if you begin to count iniquity, who can stand? If God is angry, he will be a very bitter God. If you look right, sin. Look left, sin is everywhere. People are people. Even born again used to commit. That's some kind of sins I see pastors commit. Myself, I'm amazed. Satan is shocked. He said, wow. You know, I'm not saying this, we're alive. I'm not saying this to criticize anybody, government or anything. But you know, when I saw some of things that happened in our country in the last few months, it just dawned on me that people are really wicked. Now, if people, I'm not saying it happened, I'm just saying if people really collected food, not money, food for their fellow human beings, not food that they are lacking, get the point? They are food that they have excess. And hid it somewhere and is spoiling. If people really did that, Satan is learning work. Now I'm telling you. And then killed people that went to carry what you hid from them and call them hoodlums. I'm trying to show you that if but they say it didn't happen, right? They say it did not happen, right? Amen. The national television said it did not happen. So if such a thing happened, if you're angry at what I'm saying, then it means it happened. But if it really happened, it tells you that people can be mean. If God should one day be angry, hey God, nobody can stop him. God is not angry. See, God has a constant emotion. It's love. Get the point? He has a constant emotion. Kindness is emotion. The day he will lose it, he will thank God he doesn't. Any day God loses it and just said, I'm tired of, see, let me tell you, it's over between us. No, people do things. You know, there are crimes, you know, as a believer, you make some mistakes. And you feel very bad. That as sins you see some people commit, you now say, me, I'm righteous. So I'm so righteous. I'm oh God, I'm perfect. Some things that you can't imagine. Now, from immorality to murder to every other thing, it's on the rise. But you see, God is not perturbed by all those things. Amen. Because he is love. He has paid for the sin. All he's doing for you is to respond to it. And so God is love. And so God is good. Say, God is good. Now let me ask you a question before I proceed. Can you learn God's kindness? Can you see God's kindness in nature? Nature. Can you? Well, the answer is yes and no. I'm trying to drive this home that God is really very good. Nature is not a proof of God's kindness. Amen. The proof of God's kindness is the sacrifice of his son. I'm coming to that shortly. That's how I'm going to close. But in looking at nature alone, you can begin to see that God is even good. I tell you, look at Romans 1 verse 20. Romans 1 and verse 20. In looking at nature, you can begin to see flashes of God's goodness. Flashes. flashes. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. Okay, come on, put up like NLT, so this will be easier. Shabaleka. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God had made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So in nature, you can begin to see flashes of God's goodness. For instance, in Matthew 5, verse 45, you can clearly see that nature reveals the very character of God in a flash. Look at it. It says, in that way, okay, go back to King James, we'll come back to NLT. It says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his son to rise on the evil and sendeth rain. So the way you see how sun shines on everybody, even the sinner, even the wicked person, it tells you that God is good to everybody. I didn't get the point. He doesn't look at some people and say, well, you're not going to have sun this period. If you study how rain falls on everybody, it tells you that God is not selective in his love. I follow him at all. So in looking at nature, looking at how sun is available to everyone, how rain, looking at nature, but nature itself is beautiful. Amen. God is good. This world is like this because of human beings, men. When God finished creating the world, he looked and said everything he made was what? Good. Why are there earthquakes on earth? Men. You don't need the Bible to know that one. Men are the reason for earthquake. How many of you know? If you study geography, you simply know that. Men are the reason for earthquake. Why are there whatever it is? Men. When God made the earth was good. So in looking at nature, you begin to see that God is good. God is kind. He didn't separate this and separate. He gave everybody. Everybody has night. Everybody has day. Everybody has sun. Everybody has rain. Everybody has Hamatan. Everybody has rainy season. Everybody has spring. Everybody. So I get the point. It's made available to everybody. So in nature, we begin to see flashes of God's goodness. But then, in the death of Jesus, we see the ultimate revelation of his kindness. On this, I'm going to close this morning. Amen. In 1 John 3 and verse 16. Oh, thank you, Father. 1 John 3 and verse 16. Shabalakanio. Barakia lo sumalanti komash. It said, verse 16, not 1. It said, hereby perceive we the love of God. So, look at love of God. What is the love of God? Because he laid down his life for us. And so, what is the love of God? He laid down his life for us. So, in the death of Christ, we see God's love. So, does God love you? What is the proof that God loves you? He laid down his life for you. Say with me, say, God loves me. Say, God loves me. He laid down his life for me. God loves me. He loves me. And so in the death, from the incarnation, I'll talk about the incarnation in the night. From the incarnation, you begin to see progressively that God, because in the incarnation, what he did was, he laid aside. Look at Philippians 2, let me show you. But before we go to Philippians, 1 John 4, verse 9. 1 John 4, verse 9. 1 John, somebody's beyond the keyboard, so that we'll just close. He said, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent, so how was the love of God manifested? He sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. He sent. So what is the manifestation of the love of God? He sent his son. So does God love me? How am I sure of that? He sent his son. Look at the next verse, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be what? So we say, God loves me. I don't need to feel it. I don't need to taste it. I don't need to feel like it. I know it. I have seen it in his son. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2. So God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Woo. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 6. Who being, talking about Jesus, who being in the form of God? I want to show what, oh, come on, put up NLT. I want to show you what Jesus did. And on this, we're going to close this morning. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. You know, I don't know if you have listened to the word made flesh. Well, I was talking to you about humanity and chickenity, yes. So God was divine. He laid aside his divine privileges and took on human form. And I told you, the close is not even close, but one way we can even explain it to your understanding is that a human being decided to become a chicken. So he came down. In this we see his love. He came down. Look at this. Verse 7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. All the privilege of being God, of being divine, he gave it up. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. He died a criminal's death. This love has always been in existence. That is the kindness of God. Are you following me at all? In Jesus' death, we see the love of God manifested. So from his incarnation, we see God's kindness in display. From being God, he became man, went the whole process, went through the womb of Mary. He said, does it matter? It matters a lot that God subjected himself to the womb of a woman. A mortal man. I didn't get the point. And stayed there 9 months and grew up like a normal human being. Does it matter? It does. That God will suck a human's breast. It made a lot of difference. That God will be taken care of by a woman. He grew up like that. Passed the whole process. I would have said an insult to him, but an insult. But that's a lot of humility. That's a lot of sacrifice. Hallelujah. He took up the home position of a slave. He died. The Bible says he died a criminal's death. Say that as a criminal. The death of the cross is the death for criminals. He took it. And that's the love of God in display. So does God love me? Yes. How am I sure God loves me? You can see he died for me on the cross. Now, the reason I came this morning is to talk to that brother, to talk to that sister, who once in a while feels unloved. Let me say this, God loves me. I don't need to feel it. So that's why if you don't love me enough, it's okay. I'm saying this. I say every day, there is nothing that will happen to me that can keep me down for long. You unlove me, walk away from my life, I could feel down, but that is just for the moment. I'm just responding to emotions. After, so I'll be up again and strong. You say, why? God loves me. The man that matters most thinks well of me. And it's not a feeling. I'm not just saying it to excite because I'm preaching. It is deep in my heart. I know he loves me. That's why I'm going to lead you to pray a particular prayer this morning. Before we get there, God loves me. God loves me. In Hebrews 2 verse 14, you see what Jesus did when he came. Shamalega. He said, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. I like this. Because we are humans, he became human too. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. So the reason he became a human being and died was because of you. So God loves you. Look at verse 15. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Verse 16, let's continue. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. I like this. He did not die for angels. I've explained this thing to you. Angels defaulted. Men defaulted. He died for man. He didn't die for angels. How do you get the point? He died for man. Okay. he died for the descendants of Abraham. Verse 17. Therefore, it was necessary to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of people. What I want to see in this verse, put up message of this verse. He was made in every respect like us, exactly the way you are. Why? Just to be able to die for you. Message says, that's why he had to enter into what? Every detail of human life. He was like us in every respect. Just to be able to redeem us. Hallelujah. And verse 18 to end in NLT. Verse 18. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. So God loves me. I'll come to this later in the night. God loves me. So he became everything we are to help us. So he loves me. So God has shown his kindness in Christ's death and resurrection. He loves you. You don't need to feel it. You just need to know it. I wrote something in this, a new book that is coming out. I said, God loves me. I don't need to feel it. I don't need to see it. For the Bible tells me so. He proved it when Jesus died for my sins. He proved it when he gave me forgiveness and right standing with him free of charge. He proved it when he gave me eternal life. He proved it when he saved me forever. Greater love has no man than this. That a man laid down his life for his friends. So does he love you? He does. Do you need to feel it? You can know it until you start feeling it. And that's the prayer. That's the prayer I'm going to bring you to this morning. You can know it. See, you can know it until it becomes palpable. You can feel it. God loves me. God loves me. Oh, yes, he loves me. He loves me. You can know it. Ephesians 3 verse 19 with King James. That's where we're going to close this morning. Ha ha. God loves me. I don't need to feel it. He loves me. So if you don't love me, it's okay. Your approval of me cannot change how I see myself or how I react. Because God loves me. Hallelujah. Look at this. And to know which passeth knowledge. Now, you need to know the love of Christ. What will be the implication of that? Huh? What? You might be filled with what? What does that mean? Don't we have the fullness of God? We do. But filled there is the same thing we explain when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember that? Now, let me explain that. We're already full of the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you know that. So when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, what does it mean? To give expression to the Spirit that already indwells you. Is it very clear? And so, if you want to be filled with the fullness of God, that's to give expression to the God inside of you. The answer is to know the love of Christ. Amen. The more you know the love of Christ, the more you'll be filled. Oh, Matekama. You begin to express there's so much God. It's a bit of like NLT of this verse. There's other translations. And to know the love of Christ. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, that you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Hey, when the love of Christ, I prayed for you before I came. And I'm going to have you pray for yourself this morning. That you will be filled. That you may know the love of Christ. You know why? Because this Ephesians 3. Paul was praying for them. And look at what he said about that love. He said, it is beyond knowledge. Look at Amplified. Amplified said that you may really come to know. Practically. Through experience for yourselves. The love of Christ. Which far surpasses man knowledge. You see, this love of it's not something you just say, I've heard it, God loves me. You don't know it. The reason you are still down in that mess, you don't know it. You say, but I've heard it. You can explain it, but you don't know it. It is only known by revelation. Hey, the love of Christ can only grab it by revelation. If it has not opened up to you, it has not opened up to you. When it opens up to you, you can be crying for a full day when it opens up to you.
It changes everything about your being. That God loves me. That God loves me. To that point, people's validation of you does no longer move you. Because God thinks well of me. I'm accepted in the beloved. I am loved of God. God loves me. When that dawns on you, everything will change. He said that you may really, he said, unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. This can happen to you when you know the love of Christ. How can he be writing to the Ephesian church that were already born again? And he's telling them to know the love of Christ. That tells that knowing the love of Christ is not just about being born again. It's something. So it was a prayer. From verse 16 was praying, I'm praying for you that you may know. That you may know. I prayed for you before I came here that a revelation of the love of God will dawn on you afresh. I pray this prayer every day, Father. I want to know your love. You know it, you can study it and see it in the Bible. But you see, the love of Christ can only be understood and known by revelation. If the Bible said, that knowing this will fill me with all the fullness of God, will give expression to all the fullness of God in me. Come on. If I'm not seeing enough of the fullness of God, I don't know it yet. If Paul prayed for those guys to be able to know it, it means by prayer we can also get it. Hallelujah. I want to know your love. The revelation of the love of God. Go back to that verse 19. King James said, look at verse 19 of King James. Look at NLT, or look at Message, or look at Amplified. King James said, it passeth knowledge. So, how can you know something that is bigger than knowledge? Revelation. Are you getting the point? Look at it. That's King James. Other translation. NLT said, may you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully. If you engage this your head, you can't get it. That's why when you try to preach the gospel to a professor, it doesn't make sense. Let me say something to you. There is a realm in the miraculous. When you're going to function in the miraculous or in the things of the supernatural, there is a point where you become irrational. The things of the spirit are irrational. Sure, you know. It doesn't make sense. Just like when we gather here, we say laugh. Everybody is laughing. It doesn't make sense. It's irrational. That's how the love of God is. It doesn't make sense. It cannot make sense to any normal human being. But he loves me. How do I know it? I just know. You know that point where people try to prove to you that God does not love you? Everything they have said makes sense. They've given you proven points, point by point. Look at your life from when you were a child. How this was. Everything they've said made sense. But deep down in your heart, you shall know God loves you. You can't put it to words, but you know it. Look at GNT said, although it can never be fully known, by the human mind, you can't fully know it. Put up Message. Message said, live full lives. Okay, I like that. Start from 18. Okay, 19. Wow. Live full lives. Full in the fullness of God. Verse 20. I want to see where he started that. Verse 20, that's the next verse. God can do anything, you know. Okay, well, that's the hope up and low part of it. Now, he said, live full lives, full of the goodness of God. How do you live that kind of full life, full of God? When you know the love of God. Go back to verse 19. Put up Amplified. It can never be known fully. You need revelation to know it. He said that you may really come to know practically through experience by yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses man knowledge. So it's not talk. It's not what anybody said. I follow him at all. He surpasses man knowledge. So I'm going to ask you to pray this morning. Father, Just this Ephesians 3. Let's start from 16. We're going to pray that prayer fully today. Are you ready? Go back to King James. That's around 16. So you find out this is a prayer that he led them to pray. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit. This word, most of us pray this prayer, right? Might in inner man. But you don't stop there. There are more prayers for prayed for them there. They'll be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How does Christ dwell in your heart by faith? That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, verse 18. Look at that. May be able to comprehend with all the sense. What is the breadth and length and depth and height of what? And to know the love of God. But so he's talking about the length, breadth, height of the love of God. I love those terms. Length, height, breadth, depth of the love of God. So it's deep. Length. Go back to verse 18. Verse 18. Put up New Living Translation. In Living Translation. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. I want you to understand this. But Paul was not teaching here. He was praying. That's what I'm trying to show you. Get the point? He was praying. So by prayer, you can walk into revelation. Do you get the point? So we are teaching. We keep teaching. As we teach, you pray. Scriptures walk into your room. Revelation happens to you. You know beyond knowing. So I'm going to have you pray this morning. Hallelujah. How did Moses understand God's goodness? He prayed. He said, Father, show me your glory. He prayed. God showed him his goodness. It was an answer to prayer. So you can say, Father, I receive revelation. I receive revelation. I receive light in the love of God. I receive revelation in the love of the Father. I know God's love. It dawns on me afresh. Many of you, this will be your testimony as you live Zoe this year. That I walked into a fresh understanding of the love of God. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're wondering, what is more to know? I just know God loves me. No. Spiritual things are not those things. It's not like I just know. Does God love you? Yes, now he loves me. No. May you come into that revelation. I say, may you come into that revelation. May your eyes open. May your eyes open. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. May you know the length, the breadth, the width, and the depth of the love of God. May you be convinced beyond everything that God loves you. May you come to that realization that you are accepted in the beloved. Sometimes people look at me and say, you have thick skin. Nothing penetrates. Do you know why? I just know so much. See, God loves me. I'm telling you, God loves me. Many things don't penetrate this skin. You see how vague the world is. Ordinary coronavirus came. We all tagged it that God brought it. We don't know the love of God. God brought coronavirus. To do what? HIV came. They say God brought it to teach people having sex a lesson. That means God failed. Because HIV did not stop sex. Men manufacture something else. I get the point. So God is fighting. Men are fighting back. No. Coronavirus, it is God. Everything, it is God. May you know the love of God. That you come to a point where some things will happen. You may not really have a perfect explanation to everything. But you just know, this cannot be God. He loves me. He loves me. Oh, he loves me. Jesus loves me. God loves me. I don't need to feel it. I know he loves me. I don't need to sense it. I know he loves me. Even when I don't feel like it, I know God loves me. He
loves me. He loves me. He loves me. I know Jesus loves me. I know God loves me. I know God loves me. He showed me his love. I am accepted in the beloved. I am loved of God. I may not feel it. I may not feel like it. My circumstances may not feel like it. My heart may be saying the opposite. But I know. 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 I know he loves me. Keep saying, I know he loves me. I know he loves me. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. My heart is full of bitterness, but I know God loves me. Men may have hurt me, but I know God loves me. I know the love of God. Oh, you love me. You love me. You love me. I know 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 you love me. Just keep saying it. If you don't know what else to say, I know Jesus loves me. I know God loves me. I know God loves me. I know he loves me. I know. I know. I know. I know. God loves me. God cares for me. God loves me. I know the love of God. I know the love of God. I know the love of God. I know the love. Just keep saying, I know. I know the love of God. I understand the love of God. I understand. I understand. I understand the love of God. I know he loves me. I understand his mercies. I understand his goodness. I know your love. I know your love. I am filled with the goodness of God. I am filled with the fullness of God. Because I know the love of God that he has towards me. Things don't look it now, but I know God loves me. Things don't look like it now, but I know God loves me. I might have waited years for the job, but I know God loves me. I may not have seen the money yet, but I know God loves me. I might not have gotten the healing yet, but I know God loves me. He loves me. Nothing can take that from me. You can take the job, you cannot take his love. You might take my health, you cannot take the joy. Manani Anash. I know. You may steal from me, you cannot steal his love. You might take away all the money, but his love is constant. His love is constant towards me. I know. I know. I know. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I have a revelation of the love of God. I know he loves me. 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 Oh, that you may know the length, the depth, the breadth, the height of the love of God, which passeth knowledge, which passeth knowledge. I know the love of God. I know the love of God. Just keep saying, I know the love of God. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I know the love of God. I may not feel it, but I know he loves me. Things don't look it, but I know he loves me. I may not be as happy as others, but I know he loves me. I don't need to feel it. I don't need to sense it. I just know beyond knowledge that God loves me. Love is his nature. That love is towards me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Continue saying it. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Oh, the Bible tells me so. The Spirit confirms it to me. The Bible tells me so. The Spirit confirms it to me that God loves me. That he loves me. That he loves me. That he loves me. Just continue saying it. I had it in my spirit. As you keep saying these words, God loves me. He said there will be a baptism of love. A freshness of the love of God will rise in your heart. Just keep saying it. I know you love me. I know you love me. I know you care for me. We're going to say it, nothing else, till the next 5 to 10 minutes. I know you love me. I know you care for me. I know you are mindful of me. I know you are merciful towards me. You love me, Jesus. You love me, Jesus. You love me, Jesus. You love me. You love me. Jesus loves 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 me. It's rising. Jesus loves me. 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 He thinks well of me. Jesus loves me. He has shown me that he loves me. I know he loves me. I know he loves me. Ah. 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 Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep saying it. Say it in tongues. Say it in English. Say it in tongues. Say it in English. That God loves me. That God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Say it in tongues. Say it in English. It's going to rise in your heart. It's going to rise in your heart. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. It's gonna rise in your heart. Oh, you love me. Oh, you love me. Oh, you love me. You think well of me. You are mindful of me. Said strongly by heart, this is the answer to many struggles in your life. A revelation of the love of God. This is the answer to many struggles. Oh, to know beyond knowledge. To know beyond knowledge that God loves me. That God loves me. That God loves me. Many of us are rising out of difficult moments. We are rising out of tough times. Jesus loves me. We are rising out of tough moments as we know the love of Jesus. We are rising out of tough times as we know the love of Jesus. He showed it on the cross. It dawns on you this evening. Oh, this afternoon, it dawns on you. Oh, you love me. Oh, you love me. Oh, you love me. Oh, you love me. See how you love me. See how you died for me. See how you paid for my sins. See how you gave everything. See how you showed me your love. See how you love me. As a matter of fact, this is the encounter you need. This is the encounter you need. This is the encounter you need. That love will you will adekamo or matelea. My eyes are open to the love of God. My eyes are open to the love of God. God loves me. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, I said strongly here. I said it's not a feeling, but you can feel it. You can know it until you feel it, until it becomes handy, until it becomes palpable. You can feel it. It's not a feeling, but you can know it until you feel it that God loves me, 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 that Jesus loves me. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, 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 God loves me. 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 I know. I know my Jesus loves me. Oh. He called me his own. He loves me. Oh. Hey, it's rising in your heart. It's rising in your heart. I know he loves me. You might have been through a lot this year, but it doesn't cancel out the fact that God loves you. That God loves you. That's the answer to many questions. The answer to many questions. That's the soothing you need. That's the soothing you need. That's the soothing you need. That's the soothing that you need. You don't need anybody. You just need a revelation of God's love. That is something you need. That is something you need. That God loves you. You show me your love. Don't stop praying. Take 5 more minutes. Don't stop praying. If you don't know what else to pray, just keep saying, Jesus loves me. I know God loves me.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.